I'm going to attempt to read this story to you because I find it just really funny. It's from Tall Tales and Utter Lies from Cape Breton, written and compiled by Glenn Gray. Glenn, I'm sorry. I know I'm going to mess up with it, but you're going to give it a shot. The Gang of Six. I wonder what it is all about fishing that seems to generate so many strange stories. Is it because fishing is by nature a solitary sport, or is there something else in the cosmos that makes fishing and tall tales seem to go hand in hand? This story is a true story. Well, as true as any fish story is apt to get. It happened in 1991 on the famous Salmon River, the Margaree. For any of you who have not visited Margaree, you are in for a treat. The water is clear and free-flowing, and many salmon abound in this pristine water. It is really beautiful. The Gang of Six, as I would like to call them, embarked for their annual weekend fishing trip. I was along because I was the only one of the group who didn't drink, so I was the driver. I'll give you their first names, but I won't embarrass them further by closely identifying them. Winston was the oldest. Sparky was next. Art believed himself to be the best fisherman of the group. Todd was the practical joker. Brian was probably the best overall fisherman in the group. And then came me, taking up the rear. As fishing customs demand, you start at the head of the pool and rotate after 15 minutes or so. This etiquette is observed by civilized fishermen and also insisted upon in case you start to get salmon rising up to your fly. It always amuses me to see grown men hide their fishing flies, lest their buddies find out what they were using. It was like guarding the secret formula for Coke Pop. At any rate, Art was first to go to the head of the pool, and the rest of us dispersed downstream to other pools. If you ever drive down to Margaree, you'll come to a spot in the road where the river meanders right alongside the main highway. That is where this epic tale took place. After about 10 minutes, we heard a shouting and some tourists on the road hollering to us. Just then, we spotted Art's prize fishing hat floating down the river. I waded out and snagged it with my net. It had a lot of fishing history and years of fly tackle sticking out from all sides. Sparky came up next to me when he heard the hollering, and then we saw Art tumbling head over heels down the river, trying desperately to get a hold of anything to stop this crazy ride. Sparky and I waded out, and we were able to corral Art and drag him to shore. If you ever heard the expression, "look what the cat dragged in," then Art would have fit that description. He was wet, bruised, and cursing like a sailor. Once he was able to get his breath, we asked him what happened. He began telling us a tale of a giant salmon that leapt out of the water at his fly. When he went to set the hook, the salmon was so big it started moving him down the river, and he lost his footing on the slippery rocks. We began to visualize this giant salmon and the epic struggle that Art was describing. He gave us details of the hook set, the pressure the salmon put on the line, and how strong the fish was. This was the stuff that great stories were made from. After Art caught his breath, me and Sparky took him back to the truck so we could get some dry clothes for him and a drop of the cure for his nerves. As Art was changing into new clothes, a tourist who had witnessed the incident came up to me and asked how Art was doing. I told him the only real thing that was hurt was his pride. The tourist said he had captured the whole incident on videotape. I immediately asked him about the big salmon, and he looked at me with a funny expression on his face. "I didn't see any fish at all," he says. I then asked him to tell me what he saw. He smiled, and he said, "We were filming. Art taking some real long casts with the fly line." He then said Art balanced on one foot and tried to heed the call of nature when he fell. He was laughing when he was finishing his tale. I asked him if he could send me a copy of the tape, and I offered him some money. He said he would be a pleasure, and I assured him that I wanted to play a joke on Art. He said he was also a fisherman from New Hampshire and understood what we wanted. That night, when we got to the cabin, naturally Art was the center of attention, and I asked him some more questions about the big salmon. By now, Art was fortified by a good steak supper and several ounces of Captain Morgan. He recounted the story much the same way that Hemingway did with the old man and the sea saga. When the rest of the gang of six hanging on his every word, Art embellished and added to the story. It is said that confession is good for the soul, but being a fisherman, I didn't hold to that philosophy, so I kept quiet about the tape. About 2 weeks before Christmas, I got a package in the mail. My friend from New Hampshire sent the tape and told me that he played it for his buddies in their fishing club, and everybody had a really good laugh. I was chairman of the Ways and Means Committee within our own fishing club, and one of the tasks was for the upcoming season was to raise funds for a new barbecue, as we had worn out the other one. I adopted a novel approach for the fundraiser. It's been oft quoted that if you give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. With that in mind, I never said anything to Art or the rest of the group about the tape. Art had been elevated to superhero status, and with each retelling of the giant salmon story. So I put a notice up on the club bulletin board last evening that I was selling a tape of Art's giant salmon epic for $10 a cassette. The response was quick, and I sold out all the tapes in 2 days. Well, we'll have a new club barbecue next spring, and I don't think Art will be hogging the grill this year. In fact, I haven't seen Art around the club for the last 2 weeks. Poor Art. So the story goes about the fish, the size of the fish. That was a funny one.